Chapter 20. After Sam Hughes' funeral, only a few friends gathered around the kitchen table at the Winter Palace. Linda Myers had brought over a tray of chocolate chip cookies and a pecan pie. Sam Hughes' sister Linda ate a cookie and asked for coffee, which prompted Linda Myers to get the coffee pot going. But before the coffee finished perking, Howard had announced that it was time to leave. "Why?" Linda asked. "I'd like to visit a little more and have my coffee." "The weather's bad, and I want to get home." "Okay, then, but let me gather my things I've left in the bathroom."
"Make it quick. I'll go warm up the car."
Linda and Howard drove home to Cabot in silence. She stared out the window, deep in memories of the first time she saw her brother. At age 7, she was taller than he and a year older. She was happy about it because, as she realized quickly, that was the only achievement she would ever have over the magnificent Sam Hugh Park. Sam Hugh was not a full-term baby when he entered the world. Frightened that something would happen to him and he would die like her firstborn, a little girl who lived only a few days, his mother kept him inside and away from outside germs. As he grew older, she dressed him up in cute little outfits to show him off at school, church, and music recitals. She was positive his intellect was far above the other boys his age. Believing he was a child prodigy, his mother enrolled him in music lessons taught by Mrs. Harry David Bryan, who she believed was the only teacher in town who could develop Sam Hughes' musical aptitude. He was smothered by his mother, and those who knew both Sam Hugh and his mother spoke of their concerns to each other. They believed it was Rui Ann's fault that her son was homosexual. Linda was told she was on loan from the orphanage because her biological mother wouldn't sign the adoption papers. She felt like she officially belonged nowhere. And then years later, when she finally was officially adopted, she still had the same lost feeling. At first, she liked it with the Park family. There was plenty to eat, and her new mother bought her pretty clothes to wear. But soon she realized it was all for show. Her mother liked to show off the little girl she had picked out at the orphanage. She thought that would make the other mothers in Van Buren think highly of her altruistic spirit. It didn't work. Her mother went to various club meetings, some of which she was a founding member, but she was not well-liked, and none of the women asked her over for coffee or to meet them for lunch, except for Mrs. Scroggins, who was interested in genealogy, as was Rui Ann, who traced her relatives back to the Mayflower. "Those aren't your relatives, Linda," her mother told her. "They're your brothers." As if Linda really cared. "To hell with the Mayflower," she said under her breath every time her mother mentioned it. She liked her daddy better. He seemed more relaxed, and she lovingly recalled the time just weeks after she came to live with them that she and her new daddy walked to town in the February snow. She was happy, and the pictures of her in a snowsuit with her mother's writing that read, "Linda walks to town with Daddy in the snow, February 1948," in the photo album proved it. She smiled, remembering how her mother always misspelled the word daddy, D-A-D-Y. Howard broke the silence by asking, "You didn't take anything from the house, did you? I'm going to come back and get Sam Hughes' office furniture, but that's all. You hear me? That is all." Linda would have liked to take the family album, but didn't. She did sneak her father's pipes and 4 plates out by packing them in her overnight case. Ice was forming on the trees that lined I-40 as they slowly passed the exits for Mulberry, Ozark, Clarksville, and Russellville. The sand trucks had been out, making the interstate passable. "Things are going to change at home," Howard said. "No more moping about and staying up half the night. You're going to sleep when I go to sleep and get up when I get up." Linda wished they would hit a slick spot and careen off the road, upside down in a ditch full of icy water. She wished that Howard would drown, and she would miraculously survive with only a runner in her hose. She would rush home to her 3 boys and tell them that Daddy had gone to heaven, and they wouldn't even cry. Oh, she wished that would happen.
and she wished his girlfriend would die in the car with him. She could feel her eyes sting and fill with tears. She'd had a hard time controlling her emotions since her mother's death. She couldn't sleep, so she went to her family doctor, begging him to promise that he wouldn't tell Howard he had prescribed Ambien for her. That helped for a while, but she had to stop when she realized she was once again pregnant. The child had not been conceived in love, but in fear that if she didn't submit to Howard's urges, he would surely leave her for Judy. How could she make it alone without a paycheck and four boys to feed and clothe and educate? How could she make it another day with Howard lording over her?